the 22nd head coach at Michigan Tech, Joe Schott.
The Huskies got a 2-1. Bring it up across the line. Ian Smith looking in front. Sasha just scores! Missy it! Put it in!
I am a Uper.
They'll flip it up for Reitmeier. He holds it in. Here comes Grayson Reitmeier. He'll shoot! Scores!
I love UP in my heart is here.
Save it for Missy Ack. Missy Ack. Wrap around attempt. Break to the front of the goal. It's behind him! Scores! It's in the net!
Go Huskies.
This is the Joe Schott Hour on the home of the Huskies, Mix 93. Brought to you by Dr. Daniel Reminga of the Northern Foot Care Center, State Farm Agent Kelly Jepson, Coca-Cola of Hancock, the Michigan Tech Campus Bookstore and University Images, Bucko's Party Store, the Kaleva Cafe, Peterlin Distributing, Joey's Seafood and Grill, and the Turbo Agency. Now with the head coach of the Michigan Tech Hockey Huskies, Joe Schott, here is your host, Dirk Hembraugh.
Oh, thank you very much. The Joe Schott Hour is here on a Monday morning. Oh, glad to have you with us here. Glad to have Coach with us as well today. Huskies coming off a split against arch rival Northern Michigan University. It was a real fun weekend of hockey. Coach, welcome back to the show here today, and congratulations on the big win on Saturday night. That was a lot of fun.
Thanks, Dirk. This show should be fun this morning.
It's going to be a lot of fun this morning. Northern Michigan was the opponent this weekend, and it was a tough loss on Saturday, on Friday night. There's no doubt about that, Coach. And I would just like the way the guys were able to kind of shake that off and come out with a great performance on Saturday night.
Yeah, it was 60 minutes of hockey on Saturday. I think at every position we played well. The guys showed up, played hard, executed well, competed great. Had good focus, good resiliency. So Saturday night's game was a lot of fun.
And the competition that you guys, that your coaching staff have created for getting into the lineup is without a doubt helping this team right now.
Well, it depends. If you ask the guys that are going through it, it's probably very painful. And but we all get better. We all get, you know, steel hardened steel. We all get better through tests, through push through that, you know, and highly competitive people welcome that. They want that. Our goal is to try to put, as leaders, is to try to, you know, find a way to make the players put the team first and keep that in perspective. And it's important that we have the ability to sell the decisions we're making. If we're not having any type of success, if the guys that go in the lineup aren't producing, you know, you got Beretta that produces now, now we got good competition and goal, which we've had all the way through, you know, but Robbie goes in there and gives us a great job. You put in, you know, you go with a little different lineup, a little harder lineup on, at defense on Saturday, and we get a good defensive result. We get the output that we want. So it's important, I think, that what we do, that what we try to sell has, you know, shows fruit. You know, you plant that seed and it grows. You hope that they buy into that, because the easiest thing to do is to complain about every decision that's made and then have no results. You know, we talked about, you know, a few weeks back about that deal with the Ottawa Senators. They had that Uber deal where they have half a dozen guys in an Uber cab in Arizona, and the guy turns on a camera on them and they don't know it, and they're just ranting about the coaches and how they don't pay attention, they aren't learning, they aren't doing this, they aren't doing that, and they're losing, and all of a sudden that goes viral and these guys' faces are right there and, you know, on camera, and now they have to go look at their coaches who they're just ripping behind the scenes. And what that kind of tells you is, in the coach's eyes, as being a coach, that's what goes on behind the scenes. In a coach's eyes, that's taken away from what we're trying to do here. You got an issue, come in and face to face it. You know, when we leave out of here, especially when you're wearing a letter and things, when you leave this office, we have to be cohesive. So say what you want to say. If there's a problem, say what you want to say. Well, all of a sudden, it's no surprise that Ottawa comes out and is playing great hockey. So everything gets, all the behind the scenes distractions get brought to the forefront. So you have to sell it, you have to buy into it, and then you have to, you know, create a culture where people believe in it. And I think we, you know, are on that track, and we've been on that track since I've been here, and that's, I think, what pays in a lot to the success that we are able to have in the way we play, not, you know, wins or losses, but in the way we play and giving ourselves a chance.
Can you talk a little bit about, Coach, I think you're alluding to, you know, that nobody is safe from being taken out of the lineup on Friday night. You know, Gavin Gould, one of our top offensive guys, was not in the lineup down at Northern Michigan, came in the lineup on Saturday night. I mean, is that kind of, you know, that's the competition that's been created right now?
Well, we're not trying to create, it's not fear. You know, we wanted our numbers up. If you look back, my first year here, we had a lot of numbers. We had 8 guys on any given day in the non-game, on non-dressers, you know, practice sessions on a Friday or a Saturday. They weren't in the lineup and working hard, and we're running them through drills and pushing them to get in the lineup, trying to get them to understand what they need to do to get in the lineup. You want that push. And that was a great team. Best team. I mean, record wise, we ended up when we entered the NCAA tournament fifth overall in the NCAA in the pairwise. We were one out of being in the top, being the top seed in our bracket. We ended up being number two seed out in Fargo, I believe, is where we were at. So you have to sell it the right way. The competition is good, but it's not intended to be, to be used as a threat, or, it's got to be positive competition.
Sure.
And the sell is to get them to put the individual, all of us. Hey, I'm accountable to it as well. I'm accountable. I have to answer to what goes on with the team every second of every day. The deal as a leader is to help individuals that are around you, whether they be peers or whether subordinates or whatever, to sacrifice their own personal gains, what they feel might be best for them, to the bigger good, which is the good for the good of the whole. You know what I mean? And that's what you love about athletics. It's societal. Put the personal stuff aside. That's why most of us get driven crazy by the bias in politics and things like that. Half the people don't believe in half the stuff they're voting for when they vote a party line. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But they vote a party line because they feel they have to vote a party line. Go stray, even as candidates, stray, like push it. Let people make their choices, on what you do. And it's the same thing with us. What's good for the whole doesn't necessarily personally benefit in the way that the individual sees it benefiting. Even me, myself as a coach, I'd like things differently. For sure, we all would. We'd like to have things, but we don't, in your family and whatever. You have to sacrifice. Look back in the day. You hear the stories all the time, and people don't face it as much anymore, but I'm sure they still do. How many people had to give up high school because they lost a parent and had to go work the farm? I know I have some cousins. My uncle had a business. They both had their things going. The kids had their things going. My uncle passed away suddenly. Great man. Tough as nails. Great sense of humor. Alpha for sure. Everything went aside to run the business. Now they run a very, the business has maintained, grown. But they put everything aside. They gave up their personal lives to run the business because it was a family business. Everybody was dependent on it. Mom was dependent on it, everybody. And they gave up their personal lives to make it work. That happened so much back in the day. The stories you see where this person, I was the only one in the family that got to go to college. They didn't. They had to do it, but they made sure that I got through college. The sacrifices right. that were made. That's what athletics, that's the beauty of it, because it throws back. That's why you go crazy watching people on ESPN and things like that just play for, when you see the personal side of it. And what I mean is the emphasis on me versus the emphasis on weed. Go golf, go bowling, join a sport that it's all on you instead of bringing your personal side to a team sport. That's the way I look at it.
Very good stuff, Coach. And we'll take a look at the games and some of the highlights and talk about that when we come back here on the Joe Shine Hour. Back to the Joe Shine Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ. Friday night's game down in Northern Michigan. The Wildcats got on the board first.
Now over there, in good pace, here's a shot. Score! Turnover by the Huskies. And the Wildcats made them pay for it. Beat Jerusik. Glove side, it looked like there. And Pierce will get the goal. It's a 1-0 lead for the Northern Michigan Wildcats.
Well, one of the many turnovers we did have in that game, Coach, and you can tell by the call there, it was nothing really going on. And then, if I remember right, did we try to swing it to the middle of the ice?
Yeah.
Going back the other way?
Yeah. That play, I think, was indicative of the game. We had several of those plays where we were trying to find as soft ice as possible, bringing the puck back, and then trying to make plays through traffic, and that's what happened on that. We brought the puck back in deep in our zone underneath the defense, threw it, I believe it was trying to go D to D. I'm not, we've looked at it several times on video, and we didn't really have another player over there, so I think it was a D to D type pass, and from a forward to a D, But it didn't go there, and it went on their stick, and they were able to put it in the net.
They take a 1-0 lead at the 6:20 mark. That was Denver Pierce, his third of the season, and that was unassisted. The Huskies got two in the second from Grayson Reitmeier, both goals from Tommy Paratino and Thomas Bretta on the assists.
Skated up to his own blue line and clears it up to center ice. Makes a play up across the line out for Paratino. A shot, take a score! What a shot by Reitmeier! And he ties the game up as he beat Ante Tovin in glove side clean with 16:05 left to go in the second period, tied 1-1. For Jake Lucchini is not going to miss too many times on that one. A great save by Tovin. Huskies come back again. Here's Paratino with a shot. Scores! Reitmeier again, his second goal of the game on a great feed by Paratino. And the Huskies have taken a 2-1 lead here in the second period with 4:43 left to go.
A couple of big goals right there, and Paratino in as the primary assist getter on both of those.
Yeah, and is my mic on?
Yeah, you're
on.
Can
you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were both excellent plays. We've been trying to get Grayson to be more involved in the offensive production, and he was. He only had two shots in the game. They both went in, which hopefully can, you know, he can get a feeling that as he can generate more shots, you know, he'll score some goals. But they were excellent plays. Again, it was our depth involved in the game. That was a line we haven't been getting a tremendous amount of offensive production out of, and we get two goals out of them. And up until that point, for the most part, we were holding our own. We had good pushback. We were actually on a pretty good surge. But what happened after that is really what told the game. We still, prior to that, we weren't establishing much offensive zone play. Most of our stuff was coming on the rush. A few plays off a neutral zone counter, but actually out of offensive zone play and off of forechecking pressure, we weren't generating much. And then what happened from that point on is Northern pushed back, and we didn't have an answer to that. And that's really what was the tell of the game. Now, we weren't playing highly competitive prior to that, but we were playing better prior to that. We actually had found ourselves on formation and things like that to some degree. We were still giving up the zone way too easy. We were still allowing them to come up the ice way too easy, but we were finding some transitional play. But then when they pushed back and got a little bit harder, we didn't have that ability to go the other way with it. And actually, in my opinion, we got more dependent and less independent or less interdependent. And by that, I mean, we were looking for other people to do the job. And so we got dependent on other people, and we did that collectively. So everybody, I thought, was looking for someone else, looking for the answer from somebody else. You know, when you get a little bit of independent, then at least you're trying to do things on your own. And when you get a little interdependent, okay, now we're working together and creating synergy, and we got a bodies working together as one, because you're meshed, you're interdependent. But I thought we got dependent on others. No one really took charge. And everybody was looking for someone else to be the guy that stepped up, and we didn't have that step up.
So we're up 2-1. Reitmeier's two goals gets us up 2-1. And these next two goals for the Wildcats were killers. I mean, end of the period, towards the end of the period, and early on in the period. And then they also get the wraparound.
Slattery across the line. Bolton going to the net. That one hopped up a little bit on Jarusik. He sent it behind the goal. They send it over. Wide open. A shot. Save. Rebound. And they score. Hockey game as Drewfick made the save, and it was loose, and the Huskies couldn't find the puck, and the Wildcats able to put it into the empty net, and Reedman's going to get the goal, the freshman. That'll be his first career goal, and we're all tied 2-2. One-on-one along the wall there, was able to make the play and get the clear, and here comes Craighead down. He's on a break. He'll shoot, score. Huskies got caught somehow in the neutral zone, and they didn't see Craig. Craighead coming down the right side, and he was able to walk right in. And the Huskies are now down 3-2 early on in the third period for the Wildcats. Now a chance at the side of the net. Right out in front of Sunday score. Loggins wraparound goal. And that's going to be a tough one for the Huskies. A two-goal lead for the Wildcats, first time here tonight.
So you look at those goals, Coach, and I know there wasn't a lot of, just seemed like some breakdowns, but the Craighead one early on in the third period seemed to be, I was confused on how he got lost kind of there. by us.
Well, we were confused how it happened, but it was just a total breakdown. And again, that's what we, instead of relying on each other, and I think the big word for the day on Saturday was trust. How can we ask a guy to do his job, when you have to be able to trust? And you saw the odd man rushes they got. We had several pinches where we didn't have a third man. We had several, you know, that play we had, it was a total breakdown on a very easy, neutral zone D situation in, you know, to start the third period there. Mm-hmm. They're just absolute breakdowns where there's lack of focus. And again, it's people wanting other people to do the job. So they're just, you know, we were just kind of there. And, just bodies out there in a lot of ways, probably just pylons out there in what we were doing at that point. And it was focused. It was looking for other people to do the job. If everybody would have taken the accountability on both those plays, on the second goal that tied it and the third goal, to just do their job, just to hold their position, neither play would have developed. We had three guys that were out of position on the one at the start of the third period, that long pass, three guys, you know, the board side, the defenseman, three guys. On the one at the end of the second period, we could probably say that one guy was doing his job, where four guys were drifting around, you know, hiding around behind the play, no one really trying to force the play, guys almost trying to get away from the play. So that's what I'm getting at. And that's the video that we watched on Saturday. And the video Saturday was lengthy. I don't like to run video sessions like that. It wasn't intended to be like that. I didn't get a good feel after it. You know, I know that Suzanne and I talked in the afternoon. I said, I don't know how I feel about this game. Usually I have a feel going in as to how our preparation will be. I didn't know because I didn't want it to be too negative, but I wanted it to be direct on how absolutely responsible guys had to be individually. And that trust was the deal. First of all, we have to do our job. And in order to do our job fully and to be as aggressive as we can, which is the way we like to play, we have to trust that we're going to have that support and that everybody else is going to do their job. You can usually get by with one mistake. You know, if one guy didn't do his job on that goal to start the third period, if one guy didn't, we still had layers of support behind that would have covered it. Even if the last guy didn't do his job in line and the first two guys did their job, they wouldn't have had that play. You know what I mean? And we didn't have that. We had, again, that's where I say that we were depending on other people, on that and not depending on ourselves to do our job so that we could at least then hold that interior accountability to say, hey, listen, man, like, you got it. I know you got it. Let's get it together. Or, coach, he doesn't have it tonight. We need something different. You know what I'm saying? We didn't have that. So all of the leadership and all of the message was coming from the coaches, and we don't operate as well like that when the coaches are being the absolute leaders. My goal is to develop leaders. My goal is to develop staff to do their jobs. You know what I mean? Develop coaches, pass on responsibility to them and help give them the resources to do their job. You know, from our athletic department, Suzanne, what do you need to be successful? Like she is handing it over to us and training us as coaches to do, you know, to manage ourselves, to be leaders on ourselves. So we want our players to lead. And in that game, everybody was looking to everybody else for the answers. And as you saw, we didn't find any answers.
And that wraparound was a real tough one too. It just seemed like,
three guys on one side of the net. We got beat on. We had three guys in the corner on coverage on that. Three guys in the corner on one. Their other two guys were in front of our net. All of a sudden they beat us. The one guy beats us out of the corner and starts coming behind the net. And then our net front guy disappears. So, I mean, again, it's everybody. We're vanishing for other people, hoping other people would do the job. And you can't play this game that way. But on the other side of that, the only loss is if you don't get something out of it. We had played 10 straight good hockey games leading up to that game. 10 straight pretty tight games, including the two losses at Clarkson. Could have been better, but still executed pretty well and weren't able to get inside their defensive coverages for second chance opportunities and things like that. But really, in reality, some soft goals given up in those games. Those games could have gone either way. They could have been, we could have gotten two shutouts out of those. That wasn't the case on Friday night. On Friday night, that was a, when they pushed, we didn't want to answer it. So it was really a night off. And again, part of the message on Saturday, fellas, we play two games a weekend. We have a whole week to prepare for the same, you know, opponent. I could see if we played in, if this was pro hockey and we played on Montreal on Thursday, on Wednesday or on Tuesday, had to go to Boston on Friday and then back to play somebody else. Tampa Bay was coming in on Sunday. You know what I mean? And so you have travel, you have all that different opponents, all that. We played two games in a weekend as they do. Now they had a week off, you know, to sit and just prepare for us. But I honestly in that game don't think, and that was the talk with the leaders on Saturday, the preparation, we didn't change a thing Saturday. We didn't change a thing except for some personnel and adjusted some mindset. But we did not change our plan on Saturday, and we had a, you know, a much better effort. So, you know, this one I think comes down to leadership and mental focus coming into the game.
Coach, you're a goalie, and we'll play this, even though it's painful, and it, but it is something you just don't see very often.
Here's a chance for Beretta. He rung it off the post. Thomas Beretta rung it off the far post. Huskies hold it in. Sent back down to Tolvanen, and he's going to try to shoot it himself. Tolvanen sent it down, and he scores. Northern Michigan with the lead.
Something you don't see very often. I wanted to ask you, in all of your career, did you see at this level ever see that happen?
Yeah. I'll tell you a good story about that. We were playing when I was coaching juniors early in the year, very early in the year. We were playing against one of the better teams, and we were one of the better teams nationally for a long time. And CompuWare was one of the better teams nationally for a long time. We pulled our goaltender for a good portion of the third period because we were down. It was early in the year. We weren't competing hard. Wanted to get our guys to have to compete, much like on Saturday or on Friday night. Like, we just weren't around the puck enough and things like that. And you had to teach guys, you know, to support each other, to play off each other, to put pucks in good areas so that you could have pressure on it all the time. And they scored a goal on us. CompuWare, and their goalie probably had four or five different chances at it and then finally scored. And the irony of it, we actually grew from it down the road because we played them maybe a month later up in the Sioux, and they scored a goal. And it was in the second period, so their goalie was down at our bench, and he came up by our bench, by the blue line, when they do that ceremonial handshake after the goals. And he lifted his helmet up, and he said, didn't look at the bench, but he was right at the bench, our bench, you know, 8 feet off our bench, waiting for his guys to come by. And he says, you guys, it was early in the year, you guys know that I have more goals than half your team? Well, he got it against us. So, and he was right, and I sat on the bench. I said, that was a good one. You got to give it to him. That was a good one. And then my next comment was, run him. which, you know, it brought our team together. We had some very inspirational events after that with CompuWare, and we ended up having a really good team. But, you know, but you can only take so much insult, and he probably should have left well enough alone on that, and we got very good against CompuWare. But I've seen it before, and I've seen it at other times, too. I've seen several goaltenders. I didn't come out of that feeling embarrassed by it, I'll say that.
No.
But what it did is it did show where we were at. We took a puck at the blue line, a forward, threw it right on their goalie, no one hanging around the net. And when he got the puck, everybody scattered. Both D went to the outside, everybody scattered, and gave him a lane right down the middle of the ice to shoot it, and he shot it. You know, I really like watching Ante Tolvanen play. Mm-hmm. Obviously, a goalie guy. I like watching him play. I think that they've had a great opportunity there to have a guy for 4 years be the starting goaltender, knowing every night that he's going to be in the net. That's a great feeling. It was a great feeling when we had Jamie Phillips every single night for 2 years. He's playing, you know, he's playing every single night. And, it's a great feeling. They've had that. They've had that comfort. They've had that ability to grow. And you know what? He deserves that in the career he's had. He deserves to have that special moment. And, hopefully it's the last one. Am I happy about it? No, I'm not happy about it. I also wasn't happy with their guy with Rockwell getting rung. You'll run with 50. I mean, it wasn't awful, but no need to make that hit on a guy from behind with 30 or 40, whatever was left in the game. And, But that's a rivalry game. Emotions get high and things happen. I also don't hold it against anybody. And those are the talks that if one of our guys did that, hey, don't give any fuel for tomorrow night. There's no need. You know, if you're going to do something like that to send a message, do it in the first period. You know, do it in the second period when we need it, you know, and then we'll go work hard at killing. But that's rivalry hockey. And that was kind of indicative of where we were at mentally as well.
Final score 5-3 after the Huskies tacked on a power play goal at the end, and the Wildcats skate away with the victory. Shots on goal, 33 for Northern Michigan, 26 for Michigan Tech. And let's go to Saturday night's game. We'll do that right after the break. It's all part of the Joe Schaan Hour. Questions are coming in. You still have time to get yours in. DJ@themix93.com.
Hi, this is Julie from the Reliance Agency. Much like the weather, your life could change at the drop of a hat. Don't be caught unprepared. You don't know what will happen tomorrow, but no matter what happens, you can make sure your loved ones are provided for with a life insurance policy from Auto Owners Insurance. Meet with a local independent agent and secure a policy now to rest easy knowing you're protecting the ones you love. Visit the Reliance Agency in downtown Lawrence today, or call us at 906-524-6330.
Questions about your retirement deserve more than just a call center. Hi, I'm John Nelson, your Houghton Edward Jones Financial Advisor. Let me show you the difference personal attention can make when it comes to your goals. Contact me today, 906-482-8680. That's 482-8680. Personal attention. That's how Edward Jones makes sense of investing. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
'Twas the night before Christmas, when home from the store, not a wave or a welcome as I walked through the door. No hello, no hey dad, not a single sound, even our dog just laid on the ground. The children were silent, eyes glued to their screens, till I took out a Coke and changed the routine. Check out this new bottle, it's wrapped like a gift. All heads turned to me. Suddenly, I exist. They made so much noise, gave our dog quite a fright. Started out lousy, but the day turned out pretty all right. Introducing the limited edition Coca-Cola gift bottle.
The holidays are here, and Coca-Cola is the one thing you can trust everyone will like. And with the limited edition gift wrap label, every bottle is personalized with a gift tag for your special someone. Whether it's for your bestie, your hero, your better half, or even mom and dad, Coca-Cola is one less gift to wrap. Grab an ice cold Coke or Coke Zero Sugar for everyone on your list while supplies last. The Coca-Cola gift bottle. A gift for one, a gift for all.
In sports, movement is a force to be reckoned with. Your feet fuel that force. At Northern Foot Care Center, Dr. Remingun knows how to treat athletes, getting them back in action sooner. When your feet feel good, performance increases. Games are won and records are crushed. You want answers? We have them. Technology cutting edge. Experience over 28 years. Results game changing. Pro sports teams have the best foot and ankle experts. Now you have one. Call 482-9950 or click northernfootcare.com.
Welcome back to the Joe Schaan Hour here on Mix 93. We go to Saturday night's game against the Northern Michigan Wildcats. Huskies got on the board first on a power play goal.
First 60 seconds gone here on the power play. Over for Smith. Smith across the line. No score here in the first period. Huskies have the first man advantage. Bostic now defensively. Can't make the play. They get it back to the blue line. Here is Donahue. Slides it over now for Bliss. Bliss over for Donahue. Looks to shoot. Says it scores! It went off of somebody in the net. Donahue's going to get credit for the goal. A power play tally from the Huskies with 11:43 left in the first.
Well, good puck movement by you guys on that, Coach. And I like the little give and go with Donahue drifting down to the side and kind of getting in that little area there in the circle and finding a way to get the puck in the net.
Yeah, our power play was exceptional all weekend, I thought. Actually, our special teams were exceptional all weekend. I we've been spending a lot of time as a staff playing around with our penalty kill, actually using forwards on defense, trying to just really come up with a way to gain confidence and growth. Because if we don't, if we overlook it, it's gonna be our Achilles heel, much like it was last year. And we just have to be creative with things. And I think that Brooksy and Dallas have done a tremendous job. We've done a lot of banter, but we're spending a lot of individual time and doing a lot of things. They've done a great job on putting together some different ideas and selling it to the players. I thought our penalty kill was exceptional on the weekend. Mm-hmm. And our power play, I thought, was absolutely fantastic. The movement with both units was great. We scored going into the weekend, I believe they were 34 of 35 on the kill, maybe 32 or 33, maybe 35 of 36 in league play. They had allowed one goal, 98%, something like that, and we went 3 for 7. And even at in the third period Friday or Saturday, we had tremendous movement on the puck. We didn't want to shoot it for some reason, but Lucchini's line kept that power play unit for basically the whole 2 minutes. We just needed them to throw some stuff at the net. They had great looks at the net in different positions and got too cute again with it. But we were still attacking. We just wouldn't pull the trigger on it. I thought our power play was great. I thought our penalty kill was great all weekend. And that was a personnel deal. And when you start getting Ray Bryce and those guys involved in that penalty kill, more involved in some certain, you know, certain looks of it, I think it bodes well for us.
First period goal, 8:17, the time of that goal by Donahue, his first of the season. Trenton Bliss and Jake Lucchini get the assist. Huskies score again in the first at the 14:45 mark off of a turnover. Wildcats go back behind their net. Misiak will give chase to Craighead. Craighead for Vermeulen. Vermeulen turns it over. Here's Misiak. A pass over. Bryce over for Misiak. And he scores! Oh, what a play by the Huskies! 2-0 Michigan Tech on a turnover by the Wildcats. It's a goal by Misiak from Raymond Bryce. 5:15 left to go in the first.
Well, I just can't say enough about that goal. That was just a great, great forecheck.
Yeah, that line didn't give us much on Friday. They struggled a bit on Friday. They know they struggled a little bit on Friday, but they gave us great energy Saturday. Refocused, re-energized. We made a little bit of an adjustment there. We put Pogliese in, who, of the two games, the only player I thought that really was at a high level, mentally, physically, everything was Pogliese. And he's the guy who's probably the least comfortable in the lineup, because he's been spotted as the extra guy, primarily using on the penalty kill, spotting him around on different lines as needed during the game. But he's been the extra guy dressed. Well, we made a concerted effort on Saturday to give him more minutes. So we took Blount out of the lineup and put Pogliese at center on that line, because he deserved it. He earned it on Friday night, and that line had spark. They did a great job, got us that big goal, came off the forecheck, which is what we didn't get really any of on Friday night. It was a great give and go passing play back and forth, and Tolvanen bit completely on it. He thought that Bryce was shooting.
Oh, I thought Bryce was shooting the goal.
and Misiak's the type, Tolvanen's the type of goalie that he knows who he's playing against.
Right.
And so he's probably thinking these guys aren't, you know, they don't do those types of plays. But it was a great play by Ray, giving it back to Misiak, wide open net tap in. I think I could have scored that. I think I could have scored that one.
Well, and I didn't notice live, but going back and watching the replay, you can see Misiak hollering for that puck again, slapping his stick really quick, and for Bryce to be able to make that play, and reach back for it a little bit to pull it in. But man, what a great, that was my favorite goal of the
weekend.
There's
something with me where I really pull for those guys. Mm-hmm. You know, you could have, like, I think kids feel that there's favorite children, parents. Hey, yeah, these are your favorite, whatever. They do things the way that we want them done. They just have that, you know, Copper Country strong mentality on how they bring themselves and how they perform and how hard they work. And, you know, they don't look for any gifts. They don't look for any handouts. You know, they're gonna show up and do their job and punch that clock every single day. And so every time they get rewarded, to me, it's, you know, it just warms my heart. It adds so much to our team.
So then Slattery gets the redirect in on that play. We've got to move along here. Luke Bolton took the shot for the point, and that one was redirected. And what didn't happen properly on that goal by Northern Michigan, Coach? Was it our forwards not getting out there on the point, man, or what was
it? No, it was a D-man's cover on it, walking around. It was Keegan Ford walking around. Kind of what happened indirectly is they ran a scissor play on us, and it was Broatsman was covering the point and took an inside track on his cover, which backed off Keegan away from his cover. Like, he passed in front of Keegan to stay with his guy, so Keegan had to lay back a little bit, which gave, I believe it was Volton or Slattery, whoever it was up top, a chance to time and space to get a look at the net. And then we did have three guys in position at the net that weren't really boxing out. Well, two guys at the net and then Keegan up front, and then a wrist shot got through both of them. So if you're going to screen the goalie in front, things like that, you have to at least, you know, give an attempt to block that wrist shot, and we didn't do that. And again, it just shows how easy a puck can go in. It was a nothing play from outside that found eyes and got in the net and made it a one goal game.
It was redirected in front, though. They did give it to Slattery, who was the guy in front. They didn't originally give it to him, but he celebrated like he had scored too. So I don't know how much difference that made in that going in. But anyway, that made a 2-1 game. And then we go to the beginning of the, I know we're running out of time here. We want to get to the questions. Beginning of the third period. Second period, and the two no goals.
That'll be stolen away by Stamen, who will start it back on the rush now for the Huskies. Stamen to the middle, and that got to Lucchini. He'll spin around with it, waits, takes a shot, block punt there, looks puck at the center, and it's Holy! They get a second and third opportunity, and the Huskies made it happen! And an early second period goal gets the Huskies back up by 2. Hovenen will make the save and plays it around. For Bretzman. Bretzman for the Wildcats are bringing it up and loses control. Will get it back at the red line. Takes a heavy hit. Holdblaze knocked him in. Here's Nardi with the shot. Big save made there. Rebound and flag. Watch out! Saved by Bidou. Another shot. They score! Oh, are they going to disallow this one? As the Wildcats tie the game up here, Bidou is knocked back. And without a doubt, I would imagine this is going to be looked at. 2-2 game.
All right, Coach, your thoughts on the two goals that were disallowed?
I don't have thoughts. You know, you could call both of them. You could not have both. You want to sit here and talk about, use the rest of the show to talk about
no.
how long those reviews took?
Well, yeah,
I don't know how long it is. I want to know how long
that
review was.
Well, we're going to time it after the show.
I want to know
here.
How long it was. It felt to me 20 minutes, but I'm going to say it had to be 7-10, like you said. Yeah, anyways, I have no comments on it.
Okay. The Huskies then get the power play goal by Trenton Bliss to help put this one. Well, not put it away at the time. But
Stamen now drops it there for Smith. Smith around top. Sends it over for Lucchini on the right side. Lucchini looking in front. Over for Bliss. He'll shoot it, and he missed it. Wide. Wraps around. And Donahue will get over there in plenty of time. Sends it down for Lucchini. What a great power play movement by the Huskies to the front of the net. And he buries it! Trenton Bliss takes out the garbage and puts it home. The Huskies with their second power play goal go up 3-1.
It looked like Stamen actually misfired on a shot on that one, and during the misfire, the puck went to Bliss, and Bliss buried it. Great job by him to be in the right spot at the right time.
I know. Dylan will tell you that he's been practicing that play forever. So, again, good power play movement all weekend. I thought we did an excellent job with that.
All right, so we hold on in the third period. Shots in the third, Northern Michigan 12, Michigan Tech 9. Final shots, 39-29 in favor of Michigan Tech. Very disciplined, I thought, Coach, in a rivalry series. Didn't get many penalties and didn't deserve many penalties.
Yeah, it was good. Actually, the two that we got Friday, I didn't think they were penalties. I didn't think either one. I mean, on Saturday night, I didn't think either one of them were penalties. So I thought our guys did a tremendous job with that.
All right, we'll take a break. Be back with starting off your questions in just a moment. It's all part of the Joe Shine Hour on Mix 93.
Spread the word. Tell all family members. Call your neighbors. It's Bucko's Party Store. 12 packs of Christmas sale. All 12 packs of bottled beer are on sale. All 12-pack cans of Pepsi products are 2 for $9. All 7-Up 2 liters are 4 for $5. All Coke 2 liters are 2 for $3. Keep your holiday cheer cold with nice ice prices. Buy 4 bags for $5. Bucko's is your stocking stuffer headquarters with alpaca gear, booze, jerky, along with all kinds of candy. All sales do not include tax and deposit. Bucko's Party Store, Calumet.
It's that time of the season for the 12 Days of Christmas, and it's happening now at the Michigan Tech Campus Store and University Images. Check out our new offerings every day, whether that special item is for you or yours. Stop in for warm smiles and holiday cheer, and leave with the great deals. For current and upcoming specials, as well as holiday operating hours, check our website at bookstore.mtu.edu. Don't be a Scrooge. Come visit us, the 12 Days of Christmas sale, happening now at University Images in the Campus Store, now through December 15th.
Got the fender bender blues, people stop and stare. You need advanced tech body repair. Your car's looking new, it's a beautiful sight. Advanced tech gets the job done right. Clean, friendly service without delay. Without delay. Don't drive that wreck for one more day. Beat the fender bender blues. Advanced tech body repair. Advanced tech.
It's rainy fish tacos from out of the sky. Joey's Tacos, no need to ask why. Put them in your mouth and close your eyes.
Podcast.
It's Rainy Fish Tacos, Joey's Fish Tacos, Joey's Fish Tacos, Rainy Fish Tacos, I love fish.
Get your fish taco for $2.99 at Joey's Seafood and Grill.
Rainy Fish Tacos, it's Rainy Fish Tacos at Joey's.
Think about your home. What do you see? Do you just see two stories or the stories of your toddler's first steps? Now think about your car. Do you see an odometer reading or your kids reading in the back seat? Other insurance companies just see a house. They just see a car. But a State Farm agent sees what your home and your car really mean to you. So why not give them the protection they deserve?
Call me, Kelly Jepson, at my State Farm agency in Houghton at 482-1210.
All right, we've got to move along here to questions for Coach Sean. Coach, Alabama Huntsville, the opponent this weekend. Your first question is, after the win over Bemidji State for Huntsville, we certainly know they cannot be taken for granted. We already know, just playing these guys, that they are always tough to beat. Is there anything you do as a coaching staff to avoid, I guess, a letdown against a team like Alabama Huntsville? I don't know.
No, yeah, nothing special. We'll prepare like we always prepare. We always expect our guys to come every day to get better. We're not looking for the weekend. We're looking for our performance, and we want a good week of practice so that practice goes into the game. And if we play with a certain standard in practice, that's what we haven't done the last couple of weeks. Like Dallas was saying, 2 weeks ago last week, he said, you didn't like us. Like it was kind of a joke, but like he was talking before the game Friday, he said, you didn't like us before practice or last week in practice before we had that really nice 7-2 win, 3-3 tie. And he's right. I thought we were very average but we're just trying to keep the practice moving and keep the guys because we're playing well. And then this last week, I thought we were average in practice. They went fine, but average in practice. And I think it showed in the game. And so we'll practice with the intent to perform. And that's what we're after. We're just after getting better every day, and practice is part of it.
Do you worry about with this series and then of course the break coming up and Michigan down the road, worry about focus of the team coming in?
No, I don't because our goal is to come every day to get better, and our goal with our depth and our push is to have that inspiration every day to get better. That's that when people get complacent, it's because they're comfortable. Like I said, Pogliese wasn't comfortable Friday night. He still feels he's earning his job, and he played an excellent game for us. When you get complacent is when you get comfortable. It's the rare person, and we're trying to develop those rare people that motivate themselves. You know what I'm saying? That live that way, because those are the same people that are raising their kids to not settle. You know what I mean? And don't walk over people, do it the right way, but habits and principles and things guide everything that we do. And if they're good, they'll be good. And like I told our guys on Saturday, if I'm faithful to my wife, just an analogy, if I'm not faithful, and I say to her at some point, and I've had incidences in the past, and I say to her, the boys want to go to Vegas for a weekend, she's going to question it. Whereas if there's no reason and there's trust, and that was my word for Saturday, if there's trust and she knows how he would never do anything to hurt me or my family, or she's going to give me, $20 to say, will you drop this in the machine for me, and we'll split the winnings. It's a whole different mentality. So, no, I don't have worries. That I think that we trust each other, and our guys will perform. They'll show up.
Coach Joe, Tech has a large fan base in Southwest Lower Michigan, and they are wondering, this listener is wondering, any chance of a non-conference series at Western Michigan?
Yeah, if Western will come up here and play us one for one, and they'll come play us here, we'll go play them there. And I've talked with Dave Shyack, I've talked with Andy, I've talked with all of them, with the whole staff about that. We could have worked something out, but they want us to go down there for a guarantee, which means they'll pay us money to go down there and play, and we want home games. Look at Michigan's schedule. Look how many home games.
Oh, yeah.
Like 24 or 26 home games or something like that they have on the year, because they say if someone wants to play us, they can come play. Everybody wants to play Michigan, they'll come play us here. I think college should legislate against that and say that a certain percentage of your non-conference schedule has to be on the road.
Next question for Coach. On Saturday's game, the refs stopped the game to tell the band and the Mitch's Misfits to stop playing on their drums and cowbells. Why did this happen, and shouldn't that be game management and not referees? Do you want to comment on that?
Well, I mean, I can tell you what I was told. But a good comment by one of our good friends texted it to Laura and said that Northern Michigan wanted to have the same environment that they have in their rink, nice and quiet. So, I mean, that's, you know, and that's a little shot, but, I don't know what it was. I don't know if they were playing head games with us or what they were trying to do, but it didn't affect anything. And you know what? Our people pay their money to go in there. You're not supposed to do stuff during the game, I guess, whatever. You know, I don't hear it. I don't hear it in their rink. I don't hear it in our rink. We're focused on what we're doing, so.
Next question for Coach, and they say that, Coach, this is for you, and but also may be better directed to Suzanne. With the Humboldt tragedy fresh on a lot of people's minds still, this person wonders if we ever consider eliminating the home-and-home format with Northern Michigan to eliminate one winter road trip a year.
No. You know, I would go the other way with it. I look out east and how nice it is. And that how that's used in recruiting and everything that, you know, they're playing in BC one night, they're playing in Lowell the other night, they're playing at Harvard the other night, you know, those teams in Boston, they're home every night. A lot of that league is daytime travel to the majority of their games, and they're home at night and they're in a comfortable setting. So, I'd like to go the other way and play more home and homes, to be honest with you. So, as long as our bus driver doesn't have narcolepsy and falls asleep in the middle of our drive, I'm fine with it.
Next question for Coach. It says here that it was noticeable that Gould was aggressive on Saturday night. He was feisty, it seemed. Seemed like Coach even had to calm him down on the bench at one point. Does this help his game, or does that aggression throw his game off?
I don't think he changed in any way. I think Gavin played a good game for us. He competes. And I think he knows that the offense happens with him as he competes, and I think he knows he plays as he conforms to how everybody else is expected to play. So Gavin's a tremendous hockey player. You don't have to have too many talks with Gavin about playing.
All right, we'll take a break. Be back with more of the Joe Schott Hour right after these.
In sports, movement is a force to be reckoned with. Your feet fuel that force. At Northern Foot Care Center, Dr. Remingen knows how to treat athletes, getting them back in action sooner. When your feet feel good, performance increases. Games are won and records are crushed. You want answers? We have them. Technology cutting edge. Experience over 28 years. Results game-changing. Pro sports teams have the best foot and ankle experts. Now you have one. Call 482-9950 or click northernfootcare.com.
Are you frustrated with the rising cost of insurance or concerned you might not have the right coverage? Hi, I'm Marcia Franti of the Turvo Agency in Hancock. Whatever your situation, single, raising a family, or happily retired, we can help you put together an insurance package that both fits your budget and provides the insurance protection you need and deserve. As an independent agency that represents many insurance companies, we offer more choices, more options, more security, and more peace of mind. Put the Turvo Agency to work for you at 482-0080.
The Khalifa Cafe, Quincy Street in Hancock, has been serving great food for generations, 7 days a week, with homestyle service and huge portions. They have a tasty menu for everyone, with all homemade food, including pasties, soups, hot and cold sandwiches, Italian cuisine, pizza, breakfast served all day, and the best coffee around. Enjoy a Sunday turkey dinner with all the fixings for only $9.95, as well as daily lunch and dinner specials. Hours at the Khalifa Cafe, 7 till 9, Monday through Saturday, and Sundays, 8 till 9.
Hear ye, hear ye. I bringeth thee a message from... a message from the king and his new trumpeteer, Stephen. The king wishes me to convey his favor to thine team and thine tailgate. Not yet. He invites thee to let the Bud Light flow forth. And he also wishes me to tell thee that he toasts thee. Waiteth until the end, Stephen! With game day's favorite light lager and the slogan of his kingdom... Dilly Dilly!
Enjoy responsibly, Bud Light Beer, AB, St. Louis, Missouri.
When you need to find a part at a price that's right, that red and blue sign is just within sight. Roll in to CarQuest and roll on.
Purchase one 14-ounce can of wherever brake parts cleaner and receive your second one for free at Harder's CarQuest of Calumet through January 2nd.
When you want some help from a fellow car lover, it's all in one place as you'll discover. Roll in.
CarQuest and roll on.
A
Husky hockey fans, this Friday is Ballworth's Family Night. Get four tickets, including two adult and two youth, four hot dogs, four popcorns, and four sodas for only $55. There are a limited number of packs available for this Friday night deal. Get one before they run out. Stop by the ticket office in the SDC or call 487-2073. Huskies fans, Kiwanis Chevrolet is sponsoring Jam the Stands by giving away 400 tickets for Michigan Tech Hockey's Saturday night game at the John McGinnis Theater Night Arena. Tickets will be given out on a first-come, first-served basis at Kiwanis Chevrolet in Houghton this Wednesday starting at noon. Limit four per family, please.
Yeah, how about those great promotions going on this weekend for Michigan Tech? In fact, we'll be at Kiwanis Chevrolet on Wednesday. We're going to be there today, too, but it's for a different reason. But on Wednesday, we're going to be there. The Michigan Tech crew is going to be up there, too, from noon until 1, giving away 400 tickets that Kiwanis Chevrolet is buying up for Saturday night's game. And coaches are going to try to give away a $50,000 truck from Kiwanis Chevrolet, too, during Saturday night's game in between second and third period, I think so.
Boy, I hope somebody wins that. When I was coaching juniors, we had a promotion like that. It was just like now, right before Christmas.
Oh, really?
And a guy won it. He potted it. And the crazy thing about it is he was a referee from a linesman from the Sioux. Gibbons was his name. And, a referee, it was at the Puller Stadium, a promotion game, couldn't get at the game, one of the linesmen. So they asked him to fill in and do it. He said, no, cause I get to shoot for the car in between periods. He said, I'll only do it if I get to shoot for the car. And darned if he doesn't take his linesman outfit off. He does the game. They said you can shoot for the car, takes his linesman outfit off, goes in, gets his street clothes on, goes out onto the ice with the thing and pots it right.
Are
in
you
the,
kidding?
Puts it right in the middle of the deal for a.
What did he win? Do you remember?
He won a vehicle. He had to pay. There's more of a story than that. But yeah, he won a vehicle. We want to give it away because the thing's insured. The car place wants to give it away because they're moving a vehicle. The thing's insured, and there's a lot you have to go through to prove. You have to have various camera angles. You have to cut off where the puck went through and send it in to make sure that it was within the measurements. There's not a lot of room. The puck just fits through there, but I sure hope somebody wins that. Somebody deserves a good truck.
Yeah, and that'll be a lot of fun. That's Saturday.
And thanks for to Kiwanis Motors for the promotion. Yeah. That's great, and allow people to come to the game.
Yeah, Kiwanis Chevrolet sponsoring that, and then on Friday is Family Night brought to you by Volvers, and Michigan Tech and Volvers getting together for those four packs. There's only 75 four packs available, so the first 75 families that buy them will get two adult tickets, two youth tickets, four hot dogs, four popcorns, and four sodas, all for just $55. So great night to take out the family and enjoy Michigan Tech hockey.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
It's really good. So those are Friday and Saturday night. We were talking about Huntsville. We know how tough they are to play against. We were able to get two wins down there, which is great. They're coming back up here, coming off a big win, come from behind win against Bemidji State last Saturday night.
Yeah, they're Corbis does a good job there. I like the job he does. They're always creative on the power play. I saw that they got the winning goal was a power play goal. They're always creative on the power play. They do different things. I actually watch them to pick up ideas, with some different things, different looks that they have and things like that. They graduated some really good players, so he's developing a lot of young players right now and giving them time to improve. He's giving them minutes and things, and so they're getting dividends out of that. They're playing much better hockey, and it's going to be good for sure. It's going to be good hockey here this weekend. They play a good brand of hockey. They skate. They play a physical brand. So I like them. I like the way that they play, and I like the way the Corbis coaches. And I have a soft spot for him, Mike Hastings. Those guys. We all came up in the junior ranks together for a 10-year period or so, banging it out against each other. So I enjoy seeing these guys all the time.
Go back to that series just last month, Coach, against Huntsville down in Alabama. What do you remember about that series and getting those two wins?
Tremendous goaltender. Sinclair was an absolutely tremendous goaltender. He can give you a chance to stay in the game and win it on any given night. So that's what I remember most about them. We had a hard fought 2-1 win on Friday night. It was a battle.
It was a battle, and they got their first goal set Friday night halfway through the third period after we had that 2-0 lead, and right. we were like, well, here we go. I mean, yep. it's going to be a grinder right down to the end.
Yep.
That's exactly what it was. Got a little bit more puck luck on Saturday night with the win 4-1, but it's just, like you said, always difficult to play against, and they're coming off a big win against a very good Bemidji State team, and there'll be a handful. So this is going to be a lot of fun this weekend. Want to encourage people to get on out and enjoy the games, and then also, people are heading down to the Great Lakes Invitational. Certainly not talking about that weekend yet, but that's going to be a lot of fun, too. We want to make sure people get their tickets for the GLI. That'll be at Little Caesars Arena. The New Year's Eve and New Year's Eve will be the dates of the game. So that will be the 30th and 31st, I believe.
Yeah, which is Sunday, Monday, and we have to get on the bus and travel Tuesday to Mankato mm-hmm. for a huge series and play there Friday, Saturday. So it's going to be an interesting week.
Short turnaround for the Huskies.
Short turnaround to get ready for Mankato, so at least we get some time over the holidays to prepare.
All right, Coach. Well, we appreciate it. Practice this week, obviously, and we'll – you try to do normal things, work on the normal things, or do you have anything in store for the guys that'll be different getting ready for Huntsville this week?
No, we'll prep it the same way that we always prep it, bang it out and get our guys ready to go and show up and play. And then after that, they have a break until a few days after mm-hmm. Christmas. And so as soon as they can finished with their exams, they can get home and spend some much needed time with their families and their loved ones. But we have some business to do first, and you know, nice little work week for us, and we're looking forward to it and looking forward to being home. It's absolutely great to be home for these past few weeks, and I think that it's shown in our success that we've had in our own rank.
Coach, you only have 30 seconds, but really quick, Mitch Meek and Jackson update for us. Can you let us know how
probably
far away
both,
they?
Yeah, they both should be, if we want to use them ready for the GLI, conditioning will be a big deal for them, and having that break will be tough for them to condition. So we'll see how that goes.
All right, Coach, thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of your week, and we'll see you on the weekend.
Great. Thanks, Dirk.
Head Coach Joe Sean right here on Mix 93. Thank you for your questions, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll do it again next week here on the show, 9 o'clock. And we play it back at 7 o'clock at night on our sister station, 107.3 FM and 920 AM WMPL. The Joe Sean Hour exclusively here on Mix 93 WKMJ.